Good morning. Say that again. Yeah, I know. Want you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Praise the Lord. God done a good work. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
Praise the name of Jesus. I'm back. I'm back. I guess some of you might say, what do you have for us today? I have Jesus for you today. Amen. Amen. It's a great privilege and an honor to be here this morning to stand before you, to present the Word of God before you. And I just want to ask the question, what you think about a bride and she plans to get married? What are some of the things she do? Is that tickling your brains? Yeah.
Go shopping.
Oh, yes. Anything else?
Set the date.
Set the date. Yeah.
Fix the right
man. Amen. Amen. Well, the first thing she do, she and the groom, they make preparation. They make preparation. They plan for that day. It's all about planning. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of dosh. Yeah. And it also takes your strength mentally, emotionally. It drains you. Well, my title this morning is Eternity. But before, I'd like to just introduce my message, myself and my wife. After about 20 years of marriage to my lovely wife, Francine, I can still clearly remember the intense planning. The intense planning, expensive telephone calls, lengthy discussion about colors, decoration, wedding dresses, and not forgetting the intense meeting with the in-laws. But on the 10th of August, 1996, on an autumn sunny day, it all came together. Everything was finally in place. Francine looked beautiful as she slowly walked towards me, and it was indeed a blessed day. That was beautiful. That was a wonderful day for me. But what Francine expect from me? I leave that for you to think. Today we are going to look at another bride, the bride of Christ. And the Bible text is Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 8. But I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. But let us bear in mind that this revelation was given to John by God on the Isle of Patmos. He was a prisoner there before he faithfully proclaimed the gospel. John was given a vision by God about what is to come, a vision or a picture of where we would spend eternity. In this portion of scripture, he addressed two types of people, the saved and the unsaved. In Revelation 21, I'm reading from verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth I passed away, it vanished, and live among them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be death, there will no longer be sorrow and anguish or crying or pain, for the former order of things has passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write, for these words are faithful and trustworthy. They are accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I will give water from the fountain of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes the world by adhering faithfully to Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior will inherit these things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowards, the unbelieving, and the abominable, who are devoid of character and personal integrity, and practice or tolerate immorality, and murderers and sorcerers with intoxicating drugs, idolaters, occults, who practice and teach false religion, and all the liars who knowingly deceive and twist the truth, their part will be in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Right. This is what the scriptures say. And this is what God said. It is true. It is trustworthy. You can rely upon these words. Let us look at the comparison of the old heaven and the earth and the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. First, the old order of things will be destroyed. That's what God said, which is this present world. A time gonna come when God gonna destroy this world, and he's making everything new, because sin, corrupt, and everything that displeases God is happening in this world. So God decided to make everything new. And we all love new things. There will be a place where there will be no crying, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain, no injustice. But there will be a place of peace and love with Almighty God. And this is God's promise. Right? The old order of this world, old order of this world will be gone. Killing, injustice, and all sinful deeds would be no more. God will put an end to all of this, as he said in the scripture. God promised that he will make a new heaven and a new earth. Also, in the new heaven and new earth, there will be a holy city. John said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride fully dressed for her husband. So when we think about the bride, she make preparation, she prepare herself for her husband, she do everything that she can do in her power to receive her husband. Also, her husband will prepare himself for his bride. So we are the bride of Christ. So therefore, we need to prepare ourselves for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he's coming again. And we need to be ready. So, what are the expectations of any bride? One, the first thing a bride would expect is love. A bride expects kindness from her husband, faithfulness, trust, etc. God is expecting us as his church to love him, to stay faithful to him, to persevere under trials, hardship, temptation, and persecution for the gospel's sake, and not to give in or to get weary, but to hold on to God's truth. As Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7 says, he who overcomes the world by adhering faithfully to Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior will inherit these things. And I will be their God, and he will be my son. So if we be faithful to God, do what God asks us to do, to live our life the way God wants us to live our life, and be faithful to each and everyone, and live an upright life before God, we will inherit that new Jerusalem that God prepared for us. We will be there with him. He will be our God, as he said, and we will be his sons and daughter. As John 3, according to John 3:16, right, as they say, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this is God's promise to us. He loved us. He loved this world. He loved us, so he died for us. God gave his only and one Son to die for us. And all we ask for us is to be faithful to him, to trust him where we can trust him. Even when things are not going the way we would like things to go, God wants us to trust him. God wants us to be faithful to him. God wants us to give our all and give our best for him. The second thing a bride expects and does herself is readiness and preparation. As we know, a bride shopping list can be extremely long and exhausting. They pay attention to every details. As believers, what are our preparation? How are we getting ready to meet our Lord and soon coming King? Surely, we would like to spend eternity with him. What eternity in this new heaven would be like? Eternity is where you and I go when we die. We can't say we're not going anywhere. We're going somewhere. And there's only two ways: God or separation from God. But as they say, the choice is ours. We have a choice. God cannot make that choice for us. We need to make that choice. So it's something for us to sit down and think real seriously about. I want to add this bit. We don't know when our end will come. We know Jesus coming back. We know we're supposed to be prepared. We know we're supposed to be ready. But my question is, when is our end? When is our end? We don't know that. Because the scriptures say, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Today is the day of salvation. And today, now, is to make our calling and our election sure, or make ourselves right with God. Not tomorrow, not next week. Let us don't put it off. Jesus loves us. He wants us to be with him. Right? And we want to be with him. So we need to make things ready right now. We need to be preparing right now. Make that decision today. not tomorrow, because we don't know when our end will come. Our end could come today. Our end could come tomorrow. Jesus might decide to call me. He might decide to call you. Are we ready? Are we prepared? That's my question. Surely we would like to spend eternity with him. What will eternity be in the new heaven? Eternity is where you and I go when we die. Do you ever stop and think about it and its meaning? Jesus also comforted his disciple, and he is also comforting us today. In St. John's chapter 14 and verses 1 to 3, with these words, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe confidently in God. Trust also in him. Have faith. Hold on to it. Rely on it. Keep going and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." Are we ready? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a people that are prepared, a people that are ready to meet him. Are we ready? If Jesus calls us today, are we ready? If not, why not? The third thing a bride expects is commitment. A wife expects to share her life with her husband, and the same for her husband. Share dreams, hope, and their life ambition together. In like manner, we, the Church of God, his bride, expect to demonstrate such commitment, and God, who is also committed to us, will bring out the best in us. The best in us is sometimes brought out through testing, trials. I also think that as believers, we have a great responsibility to live a blameless life and to keep ourselves pure and clean from the worldly things and its corruption. Let us endure to do what's right and to be in right standing with God. Are we standing right with God today? These are serious questions that each and every one of us need to ask ourselves. Are we standing right with God? Because sometimes people get the wrong concept that one can be a true believer of God and simultaneously practice immorality and all sorts, but that's contradicting God's truth. We cannot be a Christian and want to live the way the world lives. No, it's impossible. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Friendship with the world is enemy to God. So therefore, we have a choice to choose who we're going to spend our time with and where we're going to spend our time. That's eternity, here and after. We cannot serve God and the world at the same time. It is impossible. We're living for God, we got to put our all into it. We serve in Him, we got to serve Him wholeheartedly. We cannot do it half-heartedly. We cannot get one foot in and one foot out. It cannot work. And it's only what we do for Christ will last. The things of God are eternal, but the things of this world are temporal. Because, as I say in the beginning, this world, God will destroy this world, and the things of this world that is not of it, it will be destroyed. If it is not of God, it will not stand. If it is of God, it will stand. It will last forever. We have a choice to choose who we will follow. Now, this passage of Scripture, Revelation 21, 1-8, it mentioned two types of people, the saved and the unsaved. It would not be right for me to speak about one and leave out the other. We need to consider both and the difference between them. Why? Because it gives us a better understanding about how God wants us to live our lives and to make wise choices as to how to follow our Lord and soon coming King. So we talk about the bride, how God wants us to live, and how God expects. We talk about physical and also the spiritual, how God wants us to live. Now, He's speaking about those who practice or want to be a Christian or profess to be a Christian and want to live like how the world live. This is what Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 say. But as for the cowards and the unbelieving and abominable who are devoid of character and personal integrity and practice or tolerate immorality and murderers and sorcerers with intoxicating drugs and idolaters and occults who practice and teach false religion and all the liars who knowingly deceive and twist the truth with truth, the word of God, their part will be in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God don't want any, somebody asked me if a loving God will send anybody to hell. God don't send anybody to hell. Let me make that clear. We have a choice to choose. God say He created hell for the devil and his angels. But because man's disobedient, God say hell will enlarge because of man's disobedience. Man choose to go there. Because we have a choice. As He said, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Choose life. We have a choice. God didn't make us as robots, but He gave us a free will to choose. God didn't force Himself, and He will not force Himself upon us. Right? God wants us, and He loved us. That's why He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross so that we can have life and have it to the fullness. But because man will still choose rather to follow God, but choose to follow the way of the world. And that is why people will end up there. Not because God wants them to go there. But God cannot stand sin, and sin cannot stand in the presence of God. And sin separates us from God. Just like in the Garden of Eden, God gave man a choice, and He told them what to do and what not to do. But He didn't say, I'm going to make you don't do it. He gave them a choice to choose. But because man chose to disobey God, this is what happened. They were separated from God. And this is the same thing going to happen with people today who choose not to follow Him. They will be separated from God. So, the meaning of the cowardly means those who fear disapproval and threat of people more than the value, more than they value their loyalty to Christ and the truth of His word. So today, some people, as Christians, they do it. They want to be accepted by the world. So what they do? They compromise the relationship with God because they want to be accepted. They don't want to be rejected by the people of the world. In any way, the world is going to reject those who believe in Christ. Because what? Our light shines in the dark places. And because our light shines, the word of God contradicts the way the world system runs. And it's going to always have conflict. So if we're trying to be friends with the world, we can always find ourselves. The only way we can be friends with them is if we compromise our spiritual walk with God. So my encouragement to you today upon that, don't try to. You need to tell them in love, show them the way of Christ. You don't let them lead you, you lead them to Christ. And that is what God called us to do, to lead people to Christ. We can't save them, but we can lead them. We can encourage them, we can advise them with God's truth. We can't make them do it, but we can encourage. As the scriptures say, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God is who gives the increase. So we are Paul and we are Apollos, right? We plant the seed, which is the word of God, give them the word, tell them the truth, show them the love of God, and help them. But God is who? Going to bring everything to fruition. The unbelieving mean the former believers in Christ, who because of unbelief and disobedience were overcome by various sins, such as those previously listed. All right? Practicing those things that Revelation 8, people do practice them. The vile represent the bad-tempered, the disagreeable. You see who disagree, they have, you know, the bad temper concerning the word and others, and also disagree with the word of God, the truth. The murderers, we know who is murder, who murder, and also people who hate one another. The Bible talk about that. You know, the sexual immoral, any form of sexual activity outside the biblical marriage that God ordained. The magic arts, those who practice these, Ouija board and all these kind of evil stuff like that. We need to keep away from things like that. The idolaters, those who worship other gods rather than God. God said, you shall not worship no other god. But me, you shouldn't have any other god. Anything in your life that you use, that you put before God, is an idol. You need to put God first. God give us these things, not for us to worship them, but it's for our enjoyment and for our pleasure. That is what God give us it for. Not for us to worship them and put them before God. Don't let these things become God in your life. It's only material things, and they will be destroyed. The liars, those who tell lies. God said He hates lies. As the scripture says, a lying tongue is abomination unto the Lord. God hates lies. So we need to speak the truth at all times. Be truthful to God, be truthful to ourselves, and be truthful to one another. Don't try to manipulate people or trick people into doing wrong things or telling them things just so our own benefit or whatever, but tell the truth at all times. Speak the truth. We might expect non-believers to practice or indulge in such things, but sadly, do you know that some people professing Christianity do it? They do. And if we know, are we aware of any person that professes to be Christian and doing these things, it is our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ, if we say we love them, to warn them about it, sit down. You don't have to beat them over the head or be arrogant to them. But in love, call them aside, respect that person, and tell them what they're doing is wrong. Sometimes we don't like to hear the truth. The truth hurts, but it's going to save you. It's going to help you. In the long run, they will come back to you. They will say, thank you, brother. Thank you, sister, for advising me, for encouraging me, what I was doing. Thank you. Sometimes you might not have a thank you, but you might be able to see a change in their life. So we need to help one another to find Jesus rather than saying, leave him on his own or leave she on her own. She's going to find out later. No, that is not what God called us for. God called us to, God save us, and he also called us to help somebody else along the way. Help others to find Jesus. And God does not want us to involve in such thing. God don't think those things are right. It's not in God's book. And God would not accept that. So we see those who choose not to carry on following Jesus for whatever reason and choose to follow their own ungodly desire and things of this world will inherit that consequence of separation from God in eternal fire. The scripture said, I cannot doubt it. I cannot try to think that it don't exist. It is there to warn us as Christians. Let us don't get too comfortable or complacent with our spiritual walk. We need to examine ourselves each and every day. Examine our life. Make sure that our life is right and in right standing with God. Because sometimes we can get so complacent and forget and become lackadaisical and involve and indulge in things and not realizing what we're doing. Or we realize what we're doing but ignoring it and feel comfortable. But we as Christians have to be on our peace, on our P's and our Q's, be on our toes at all times, because we have an adversary out there who is crafty. He's the deceiver, he's a liar, he's a tempter, and he's an accuser. So therefore, if we have an accuser, we have a deceiver, and a trickster, we need to always be on our alert, because the scriptures say the devil is out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And who are you going to devour? He's not going to devour a person who is unsaved, a person who never accept Jesus Christ. He's going to try to devour those who belongs to Jesus Christ. And who is that? Me, you, and everyone in here who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's the work of the enemy. And if you think because you're a Christian, that's it, the devil will not have a go at you. Oh, no. He's working 24/7, every day, every night. He's after us. But we need to keep ourselves under the protection of Almighty God. And always thinking one step ahead of him. Because he's out there to get us. And he's so subtle. A thief man don't come and say, I'm a thief man, I'm going to break into your house tonight. Nope. He always have a plan. But we have to make sure that we secure our house. Keep our house in order. Because Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for prepared and ready people. I want to summarize this with a passages of scripture from Jude chapter 20 and 24. And my conclusion is, the solemn fact of eternal punishment for those who practice sin should be one of the greatest motivation for us to carry the gospel. That should be our greatest motivation, to carry the gospel to every person, man, woman, boy, and girl. Let us do everything possible to persuade them to repent of their sins and receive Jesus as the Lord and personal and indwelling Savior before it is too late. That should be our goal. To tell people, encourage people to come to Christ before it's too late. And as the scripture calls us to persevere, as Christians, we need to persevere under trials, because we serve in Jesus Christ, we will be tested, we will be tried. And as Jude says, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, even eating the clothes stained by corruptible flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty. Amen. Amen. Brothers, Jesus love you. Jesus promised that he's going to prepare a place for you and for me and for everyone who accept him as Lord and Savior. But ego, we need to prepare to meet him when he come back, because he's coming back. Also, we need to be prepared if he calls us today or tomorrow. We need to be ready, because after that, there is no repentance. We cannot repent. And I'm encouraging you to do everything as the scriptures say, to build up your holy faith. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself from sin. Live the life that will bring honor and glory to God. Eternity is a beautiful place. Why struggle in this world now and then still struggle after or suffer after? Why? And God prepares somewhere for you where you'll be peaceful, would be joy. And everything you ever needed would be there. Let us do what is right, what is pleasing to God. And let us help others to find Jesus as Lord and Savior. My question to you today, where will you spend eternity? Will you be happy? Will you be singing? Will you be free? Eternity awaits you and me. Jesus loves us. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you this morning. I thank you for your word. And I thank you today for each and every one of us here today under the sound of your voice. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us, if, Lord, our life is not in right standing with you, to make it right with you right now. I ask you, Lord, that you will forgive us for any sins in our life, the sin of omission and the sin of commission, Lord. Forgive us for anything that we have done against you, against anyone. Forgive us, Lord. Have mercy upon us, Lord. If we don't know you today, I pray, Lord, that we will come to know you as our Lord and personal and indwelling Savior and Master of our lives. We surrender our life to you today and ask you to come into our hearts and to be Lord of our lives. Help us to walk upright before you. Help us to do what is right and pleasing before you. Help our life to reflect you in everything we do. Help us not to be ashamed of you, but help us to willing to be to suffer for you, Lord. Knowing, Lord, the trouble of this time cannot compare to the glory that you have in store for us, Lord. So help us, I pray today, each and every one of us, Lord, to make it right with you, Lord, before it is too late. Help us to surrender our life to you and ask you, Lord, to take your rightful place in our life, because we crown you Lord of our life. Come into our hearts and save us. Forgive us. Because he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And if we confess our sins, you are faithful and you are just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for helping us in our everyday walk with you, Lord. Help us to examine ourselves to make sure that our life is in right standing with you. Help us, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus love you. Amen.